You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
Hour number three here on Fantasy Sports Today, here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Kevin Walsh and George Kurtz here, taking you up till noon. But right now, we are joined by the man who was normally captaining this ship, a very own Mike Blewett. Mike, how's it going?
Going well, guys. Listening to the show earlier, good stuff. A lot of good NFL talk, and I happen to be down in San Antonio. We'll be going to the Final Four tonight, and looking forward to the games.
It should be a good one. I think you're in store for a pair of interesting games, I'd say.
No doubt. Obviously, you have the upstart with Loyola Chicago that has kind of dominated the news cycle of the tournament, from Sister Jean to Porter Moser to everybody else involved hitting the big shots. They've won a bunch of tight games. They will certainly be a rooting interest for many to try and upset Michigan. And it's kind of interesting. You got a couple of Catholic teams going for it tonight, trying to meet on this Easter weekend.
Mike, a few years back, I know you were down in Dallas.
First of all, what's up?
How you doing, Mike? How are you?
I'm good, man. Long time no speak. I hope things are well.
Things are well. Hope things are well for you. Well, I guess you're in San Antonio. How bad could things possibly be? So, but I was saying earlier on the show, in our introduction, bro. I remember, I don't remember the exact storyline, but you had a choice of going to like a Dallas game or the Pittsburgh game. How did that, do you remember what I'm talking about?
I think it was
a Dallas, the playoff game, but you had a tough choice where
I went
your hometown
to the,
team and
I
a better
went to
game.
The Dallas. I went to the Dallas Green Cowboys game. Green Bay Packers playoff game. Yes, last year.
And you passed on the Steelers, who might have, you could have gone to the Steelers championship game if they won, but you took the sure thing in the Dallas game. Was that how it worked?
Yeah, basically, I could have passed on that Dallas game to go to a later Dallas game, which might have been the NFC Championship game. But I took the sure thing, playing the Packers, and I guess I kind of jinxed the Cowboys and your team, and they lost.
Oh, so I should blame you?
Yeah, probably.
All right, that's fine. I can blame. I have no problem blaming Mike Blewett. None. So it's your fault, my Cowboys.
I was rooting for Dallas that day.
So was I. Didn't work out well for me.
I wasn't. Clear the air for those keeping count at home.
So I don't like you either.
If Jason Garrett could manage the clock properly, they might have won, or at least pushed it overtime.
I'm in a good mood, Mike. Don't blow this for me. Don't talk to me about Jason Garrett.
Maybe.
Why don't you just bring up the Islanders too and their problems? Maybe. You know, maybe get fired. Forget it. I'm done. I'm going home.
Okay. Good to talk to you, buddy.
Mike, impressive. Barely 5 minutes on the clock, you've already sent George packing. That is quick work you just made of that whole situation there.
It's a new record.
That is nicely done. I wanted to ask you about the games that got us to this Final Four, because we were previewing last week on the show, and just kind of what you saw from them as you kind of prepare for tonight's game. Let's start with Loyola, who really took it to Kansas State. The game was really never in doubt. I thought that was pretty surprising. I know you had Loyola winning that game, but the fact that the Ramblers kind of held on from start to finish, I thought was really impressive.
Yeah, look, they're a good team. They are an upstart. They did kind of come out of nowhere, but they have a bunch of veteran players that knock down shots. They hit 50% from the floor on the season. They shoot 40% from three. Those are excellent shooting percentages. As you can tell, they have a lot of experienced players. It's been said many times, they've had seven guys on the roster that won state titles in high school. So you have guys that have been in high-pressure scenarios and won. And I think it shows, because even at the end of these games, the close ones, the ones before Kansas State, they're making a right pass, taking a right shot at the end of the game. So it doesn't mean that they're going to win the entire thing, but I think they have a real shot tonight. You know, the spread is 5.5. I would probably take Loyola because I could see it being a close game even if they don't win.
But let me ask you then, with as far as Michigan goes, that game, because you just mentioned end of game situations, and I did want to get your take on this. The whole Leonard Hamilton not fouling, felt like the game was over. I think there was like 15 seconds on the clock.
There isn't an excuse for that. There isn't an excuse for that. There was 11 seconds left when Michigan got the ball. You foul. I don't care that it's a 5-point game. You foul. What if he misses one? You come down, you hit a three. It's a 3-point game with 4 seconds left. That's fine. We saw a Virginia and Louisville game earlier this year. If ever there was a doubt in anybody's mind as to what you need to do, we saw a Louisville-Virginia game earlier this year where Louisville was up 4 with 0.9 seconds left, and they lost in regulation. They gave up 5 points in under a second, which seemed impossible, but now we know it isn't. So they should have extended the game. The fact that he was terse with the reporter Dana Jacobson is, you know, it's just a bad look for him. I'm not going to castigate the guy for the rest of his life or something like that, but I thought it was just setting a bad example and kind of being a sore loser about the whole thing. But there isn't an excuse. You just foul a guy and you keep sending him to the line and see what happens.
So, Mike, did you play a bracket, a lot of brackets for you, Mike?
I played probably 5. And if Kansas wins tonight, I will win one.
Mm. Nice. Really? How many people?
Yeah. It isn't a lot. It's probably a few hundred bucks. But yeah, hey. It will at least make up my entry fees and then some.
You know, that's funny. That's how I look at things a lot of times. When in any kind of fantasy, not just NCAA hockey, baseball, football. First thing I want to do is make my money back. And after that, I'll worry about making a profit there. So good for you, Mr. Blue. Look, he's in San Antonio.
Yeah, it's been a while.
He's got it better than him.
He's winning brackets. Who's got it better than Mike, right? I'm going to ask you guys a question here. I'm going to let you guys make a decision for me. Chris Mitchell, who works for us, does a lot of prospect work for Roto Experts, has just asked me to join his friends and family league tonight. You know, I guess they start a little late here. I'm only in 4 leagues. Should I play? And it's no money. Just for, you know, just for giggles here. Should I play tonight?
A harm.
Yeah, and I'll make you this offer. If you draft it, I'll help you manage it because I could use another team.
Deal.
This is
beautiful. I will definitely do that. Deal. Okay. So, Mike Blue, assuming it's a snake draft, I'm not doing an auction, Mike. If it's an auction league, I'm done. I'm not going to be at 2 in the morning doing an auction tonight. But it's a snake draft, I will do it. Yeah, and I'll put you on as co-manager. I like it.
Yes, please do. Yeah, I'm in.
Fantasy Deal. Sports today, where dreams are made.
Deals are made here,
bringing people together.
What beautiful work. Mike,
joining people together from across the country to co-manage fantasy baseball teams. That's what we do here on FST.
We got to get those shirts printed up. Someone start working on that.
It's kind of a long thing. It's kind of a long slogan, so we have to tighten it up.
It's going to cost quite a bit. Let me ask you about then the other two teams that we've got here. The Kansas-Duke game was terrific. Malik Newman really showed out, showed some of that potential that he was supposed to bring back when it was Mississippi State, if I'm not mistaken, when he was like a top-5 player coming out of high school. Ultimately, they get the job done against Duke. I feel like that has to be at least impressive enough when they're going to be playing up against a team like Villanova who pretty comfortably feels like they're the best team in the country at this point, at least.
Yeah, I mean, they are the best team. I think the season has borne that out. This tournament can be pretty wacky at times, but I think what you like most about Villanova tonight and potentially Monday is that they beat teams in a variety of different ways. They score the most points in the country, 87 points a game. So they can run you up and down the floor. They scored 90 on West Virginia, which is a good defensive basketball team. Then they come back. They're not having the best shooting night against Texas Tech, who's trying to slow it down on them, and they do, and they still lose. Villanova still wins comfortably. So their ability, first of all, they have 2 first-round picks, right, with Bridges and Brunson. Brunson's a player of the year. You have other guys like DiVincenzo and Spellman, who are both athletic players as well. And they add a lot. They can roll a little bit deeper than some of these other teams. I think Kansas is probably overlooked a little bit, but I still like Villanova, even giving the 5.5 points tonight. You know, Kansas was lucky to be here, you know, only in one sense, and that shot didn't fall for Grayson Allen. Duke played a pretty bad game. I mean, they had three of their starters have miserable games. Carter fouls out. He scored 4 points on the night, and he looked like a mess the whole day. You had Grayson Allen. He goes 1 of 8 from three until the garbage three-pointer right at the end of the game. And then you had Trent, who was lost for 20 minutes. And still, if that shot goes down, they're playing in the Final Four tonight, and Villanova would much rather play Kansas than Duke, because Duke is just too talented to be able to predict what they can do on a night-to-night basis. My biggest disappointment with Duke is that Bagley should have been getting the ball on every possession, and he just didn't.
Yeah, I think that that's fair. And I think that that was the thing. I mean, we both thought that Duke would win because we thought Grayson would finally have a good game, and he almost canceled it all out with that shot. So let's hear it, Mike, because I want to ask you a little bit of some fantasy baseball stuff, obviously, with baseball opening. What are the predictions? What are we seeing for a championship game? Who's going to beat who to be crowned the champions of the universe?
I think Nova, it would surprise me at this point that if Nova doesn't win the whole thing. I'm not suggesting there's no chance that Kansas could win tonight, but I think Villanova is clearly the best team of these four. I think tonight could be tougher than Monday, no matter who it is on Monday. But I think Nova takes this. I think they cover the spread tonight, and whatever the spread might be on Monday night, I would probably take Nova. Laying the points
over Michigan, you think? That's my guess. It's boring, but that's what I'm seeing.
You know what? I'll go with the upset. I'll take Loyola.
Mr. Gene.
Yeah, I waffled on this during the week. I was thinking it was going to be Michigan. I was trying not to overthink it, but I've overthought it during the week. I'm going to take Loyola. So I'll go with the two Catholic teams on this Easter weekend, getting to the championship game.
I like that. Let's move over to baseball. You're a Yankees fan, right? We can complete the trio.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Very much so. Yes.
Giancarlo Stanton. I mean, got their highest ratings on opening day in 7 years, and a lot of that has to do with Stanton. Didn't disappoint. Two home runs to start it off. I asked George, could he actually be the number one overall fantasy player? And he said no, because it's Mike Trout, and that's how it's going to be, which I think is completely fair. But do you think there's a path for Stanton to get to one? If not, I mean, how high can this guy go?
Well, look, George and I talked about this a lot last preseason, that Stanton was, and we talked about it with Tony Sincotta too, Stanton was being very much overlooked going into last year. Now, obviously, he puts up the huge number of home runs last year, and now he's in a ballpark, despite the fact that he's a right-handed hitter, is still a fairly friendly home run park. And he's in this lineup, which is going to put up a ton of runs. So, yeah, I think he's probably shot up draft boards in a way that we didn't see a little over a year ago, necessarily. But, yeah, I think is he going to be a top five fantasy player? I think he can get in that range, although I'd imagine he'll fall right outside it.
Yeah, I'm going to have I have a tough time putting Stanton quite there. Mainly his injury history frightens me a little bit as well. All right, you know what? I posted this on Twitter yesterday, so I'm going to answer this.
George, to put it back to you, where do you think he ends up? Top 15 player?
Oh, I mean, he doesn't steal bases at all, so that's not going to happen. I mean, listen, I think he's a first-round pick, you know, so a top 10, top 12, but it's loaded. I'm just going to have a tough time taking him over somebody. You know, you can take him over Charlie Blackman, you know, a guy who's going to add maybe a little overall stats, Arenado. I mean, there are guys over and over again. There's really, to me, there's no argument here. I just don't think he's number two overall. I'm not quite going that direction, although I have no problem admitting, you know, he's going to hit accidental home runs. You know, I mean, really, bombs that just at Yankee Stadium. You know, so he's going to hit, you know, but he missed the ball, but it's 350 feet down the right field line gone. You know, that sort of thing. Aaron Judge did the same thing last year. So he's going to have a monster season. But what I was going to ask you guys is, I posted this on Twitter yesterday. Either one of you, we'll start with you, Mike. Do either one of you care about John Sterling's home run call?
No, it's a great question because I'm stunned at how put off or surprised or fake disgusted that people are with it. Like, can we just stop the social media outrage and just have a little fun? It's baseball. It's a baseball game. And yeah, I have a much bigger problem with John Sterling not being able to see stuff and get that wrong than I ever will about a goofy home run call.
I'm with you, Mike. I don't get it. I think this is, I don't listen to games on radio because Susan Waldman kills me. I can't do it. And generally, I'm that guy who, even if I go out though, if my aunt going out with dinner with Mike Blewett tonight, game's on, I'm gonna record the game anyway. I'll watch it when I get home. So I'm not gonna listen to it on the radio anyway. So I don't have to. But Susan Waldman kills me. I can't do it. Especially she still has a job after making up that story about Clint Frazier last year. But that's another thing. But as for the home run calls, I couldn't care less. Not one little bit what John Sterling's saying. He spoke in Italian, whatever the hell it was. Who cares?
I just thought it was preposterous because he's not even Italian. I didn't actually know that people were insulted by it. That's a little silly to me.
He's not Italian, but the name Giancarlo is Italian, so he's just having fun with it.
Mike, can you hang around for another segment? Or you got to run. You busy out in San Antonio?
I got to go. I'm going to root for Loyola and Villanova tonight. And if Kansas wins, I'm in the money. So, George, good luck with the draft. And let's win a championship.
We'll be back here on Fantasy
Sports
Today soon.
I'm going to blame you if we lose.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
George, you're missing out over there. I just got serenaded by Pete Considori. What a treat.
You got serenaded by Considori. How nice. I mean, serenading you?
It was more of a hum. I think you liked the song. Let me tell the people about DKMS, because did you know that it only takes 1 minute to potentially save someone's life? No, seriously, 1 minute. That's how long it takes to swab your cheeks and join the donor list with DKMS. There are currently over 900,000 registered donors in the U.S., and we need more. There is an American diagnosed every 3 minutes with blood cancer. There can never be enough donors. For only $45, you can help DKMS register new bone marrow donors. DKMS donors save approximately 19 lives a day. We want you to help save one. So please, if you can, go to dkms.org/fantasy today. DKMS, always a good thing. Let me bring Pete on quickly, because there are some baseball things I want to get to. But if I'm not mistaken, I have the two brightest hockey minds in all of the fantasy universe here, and one Rangers fan. George, if I'm not mistaken, an Islanders fan, correct?
Yes. Once again, you like Mike Blewett. You're bringing me down.
That
now.
Pain in the voice. I should have known the answer right away. And I'm just curious between the two, how you feel for the two teams next year, because both of their seasons respectively are kind of over. So I'm sure you're kind of looking ahead towards next season. And I just figured I would just kind of let you guys chat about it quickly, because I am curious. I always find it interesting. And normally Pete has to put up with me talking hockey with him, who knows nothing. I feel like it would be kind of interesting to just hear thoughts on where the two New York teams are kind of headed this offseason.
George, you want to start?
Do I have to go first for this? I'll take the Islanders here.
Yeah, go for it.
I mean, listen, yeah, if you're the Islanders, it's all about John Tavares. All right. I've been telling people this week, I had my home draft, so all my friends here, you know, and they're mostly Rangers fans, and I've told them I'm really honest about this. I'm about done with the Islanders. I mean, it's not so much losing Tavares. That sort of thing happens. If they lose Tavares and they keep Snow, I think I'm done. And I'll still love hockey. You know, play fantasy hockey, play hockey, ref hockey, love the game. But I think I'm about done with the Islanders. I just can't keep dealing with an ass-backwards organization that just doesn't figure it out, doesn't make the same mistakes over and over again. In the NHL – You know, in football, you need a quarterback. In the NHL, you need a goaltender. You can't win without it. And the Islanders haven't had one in 30 years. I mean, it's kind of a joke right now. So that's where I am with this. Tavares, I think he is leaving because I think if he was going to stay, he would have already signed. The Islanders have offered him the money. So it's not the money he's looking for. It's stability within the organization. People think, oh, they got the new arena, so no problem here. It'll work out. Well, guess what? That new arena is not going to be built for 3 years minimum. Minimum. It means he'll be plus 30. You know, I don't know if that's as big a thing to him as people realize it is. Unless the Islanders have assured him of something, you know, during the offseason, I think he leaves. Hopefully they do get rid of Snow, but it's really, really hard being an Islander fan.
All right, well, we'll go over to the Rangers. And, George, I agree with you. It is very hard, and I feel bad that the Islander fans have to deal with that kind of unorganized organization, if you will, of the Islanders. But the Rangers, for me, the guy that I'm concerned about is Henrik Lundqvist. Like George said, it's going to be up to the goaltender. Every team needs a goaltender. I don't know how many years more King Henrik has in him. It's a little concerning. If he goes, who do we get? We're not starting Andre Pavlik. If we do, we're very, very desperate for goaltending needs. The team as a whole, very, very young. That also concerns me, but at least they have a few years that they can go and actually work on their craft, work on their game, and then in a few years, they're either sent down, brought back up, or they stay with the team and they grow as a team. Henrik Lundqvist is a guy to look out for. I don't know, maybe next year's his last year, maybe doesn't even last the rest of the season. His performance has been very good this year, considering our defensive game hasn't been that great. But let's look out for maybe a potential goaltending change midseason next year if he's not doing well, maybe picking up a goaltender at the trade deadline.
Let me then just put on the hot seat quickly. And, George, I apologize because I hate to see you sad. You're my best friend in this whole world. John Tavares' prediction. Where does he ultimately sign this offseason, whether it be staying with the Islanders or team? Just as of today, where would you predict? I'm not going to hold you to it forever. Just as of today, what would you predict?
Well, you know, Pete and I have been talking about it. We do the Inside Edge Fantasy Hockey Podcast here, so we're doing it today at 3:30 as well. So we've talked about this for a couple of weeks now. Where will Tavares end up if it's not the Islanders? The Rangers would be in play. Now, I think Tavares is an extremely loyal guy. And what I mean by that sounds strange. Obviously, he'll leave the Islanders. How loyal can he be? Well, I mean, I don't think he'd go to the Rangers because of that. Yeah, you know, there's going to be a lot of fan backlash, maybe even some media backlash. So, but I think the Rangers could be in play here because they need a marquee player. You know, as Pete said, Lundqvist doesn't have many years left. He is their marquee player now. They could use somebody. So I think he'd be in play, the Rangers. Montreal would love to have him. I mean, Montreal in the NHL is the equivalent of the Yankees to baseball as far as that's the mecca. That's the media mecca of hockey, so I think they'd be in play there. Won't be going to Toronto's hometown team because they can't fit him under the cap, so that's not going to happen here. Detroit, I think they would like to happen. Can they make that fit there? But once again, they're a rebuilding team. Does Tavares want to do that? You know, a team that's going to take maybe 2-3 years to really contend again. So I don't know if there's any number one. I don't know if he wants to go out west. You know, San Jose, Anaheim, you know, one of those teams. I don't think that's really in play here, and I don't think Western Canada is going to happen. You know, so I think it's going to be someplace on the East Coast here. Right now, I said I don't think there's any clear-cut favorite. Montreal is the team that keeps ringing in my ears over and over and over again because they would make the room to get him in there and rebuild around him. And he'd be back home, Canada, close to Toronto. Montreal will be the Canadian team. I still think the Rangers are the U.S. team.
Pete, thoughts?
No, I agree 100% with George. What I thought of today, which I found interesting, because I also saw something about Erik Karlsson. So I had wondered, if Ottawa moves Erik Karlsson, does that make room for John Tavares? But then I thought about it. I don't think, like George was saying, I don't think John Tavares is going to go to a team that is, let's say, pretty much out of it, maybe for the next couple of years. So I would have to say, with George, I would have to say Montreal or maybe even New York Rangers for that. So I agree with him.
Fair. I think this is a nice, rational discussion. You're both great people, and I appreciate you greatly.
Everybody should agree with me. I'm God.
I agree with that statement.
And now you know why people say mean things about the Islanders, George, to try to just bring you down a slight touch.
Listen, it's not that hard to say mean things about the Islanders, man, because it's not really mean. It's all true. That's the problem. The Islanders have a lot of issues, guys. A lot of issues. It's a shame because the fan base is here, you know, and the fan base is pretty rabid here. But the organization is just run poorly. Even the, you know, I know as an Islander fan, we hope with the new owners that they would figure things out here. You know, I've given Wong a lot of grief. Charles Wong's the old owner here, but at least he did his best to keep the team on Long Island. And Brooklyn is Long Island, so good job there. But then keeping Snow is, I mean, does he have naked pictures? Does he have blackmail? I just don't get it. Why this guy has a job? You know, because let's face it, if we did our job as bad as Snow has done his, Mike Cardano would have kicked us out on our ass a long time ago. So it's just strange. And that's what's so disheartening, man, when everybody can see it except the Islanders.
Oh, I'll tell you, one of my favorite Tony Sincotta lines, and there are many, is just listening to him talk about Hugh Jackson. If we can get Tony on for the last segment, I'll see if we can get him to talk about Hugh Jackson. How does this guy show up to work for 32 days and do his job successfully once and then get to keep his job? So simply yet perfectly put.
I think we all want to know that. He's 1-30. He has one more win than us three put together, and we're not a coach. All right? I mean, think about this. And he's probably stepped in shit here, too, because this team's going to get better all of a sudden real quick because they hired the right management people. You know, Dorsey's in there. They got the 1-4 pick. They made a lot of free agent signings. They made some trades here. Don't get me wrong. They're not going to be a Super Bowl contender, almost a Stanley Cup. They're not going to compete for the Lombardi Trophy, but I don't think they're going to be a laugh. You know, oh my God, the Cleveland Browns, they suck, can't win a game. So, you know, the fact that he's gone 1-31, kept his job, and now he's going to reap the benefits, once again, Cardano would have, not only would he have kicked us out on our ass, he probably would have run us over as well.
Honestly, yeah, I wouldn't put it past Mike. He's a good guy, but I mean, geez, imagine I just showed up and didn't do anything. I just sat here while, like, Blewett was on air. By himself, that'd be rough. Let me ask you, George, about this weekend. We're going to see the Ohtani debut. That is going to be, I would say, at least within the fantasy community, but I think overall, I mean, that feels like must-watch stuff. You got to see how this guy performs. What are the expectations? What are you looking for from Ohtani?
Well, listen, he gets a pretty good debut as far as it's Oakland, mm-hmm. right? Not the greatest team on the planet, so... If you drafted him, you're starting him, you know, but I'm worried. He got lit up pretty much in spring training by everybody. Once again, it's spring training, so I don't want to overthink this. But, you know, when a Japanese player pitcher comes over to here, the balls are bigger here. All right? The baseballs, right? I don't want to hear it. The baseballs are bigger here. So it takes some, and I know you were thinking it. So it takes some getting used to. Okay. This just sounds terrible. This is going right off the rails here. No matter what I say now, I'm not going to be able to get out of this. The baseballs are a little bigger, so they're a little different. Takes a different feel here. So it's going to take some time. You know, I don't know if that's a month, a year, whatever it might be. Some pitchers have done it right away. Tanaka was pretty good right away. His splitter still worked. Listen, Ohtani can throw. He throws hard. But I think it's going to be an adjustment period. So I think you're going to have to get used to it. We saw in fantasy drafts. Yeah, if you drafted in the old one league I have been drafted in February. So that's great because I drafted him in like round 5. I took a shot on him. Now I wish I didn't because at the end of March he's drafting, and I imagine tonight as well in that draft, he's probably going round 8, 9, 10.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's become more of an SP4 in fantasy, not an SP2. So that's going to be an issue there. I like the matchup tonight. Ordinarily, if you asked me this and he was playing an average offensive team or obviously a good offensive team, I'd probably sit him. I'd want to watch, see what's going on here, what's happening. But it's against Oakland, not the greatest offense on the planet. I'm willing to take a shot here. But only in yearly leagues. If you're in a head-to-head, well, that'll come down to what categories you need to hit. Do you want to protect your ratios? Do you need a W, strikeouts? I'll be looking at that heavily if you're in a head-to-head, and it's a head-to-head that ends tomorrow. In other words, a 4-day week, not the 11-day week that some leagues have.
Are you looking at him for maybe a DFS play? Would you? I mean, obviously the matchup is there in terms of lineup he's going against, but you made the point. Spring training wasn't kind to him.
You know, I haven't checked. I'm curious about what his price is. Has it come down, or is the hype still there, but his price is too high? He could be. I mean, tomorrow we're going to have a full slate. I mean, you're going to have 15 games, 30 pitchers. I have a funny feeling DFS. I mean, if I play 10 lineups tomorrow, which is possible, it's unlikely because it's Easter, but on a normal Sunday, it's probably what I would play because I'll be home watching the games all day. Tomorrow's Easter. I got things to do. I may not be able to get to it. I probably would in one lineup. just, you know, for giggles there, see what happens. Not in a majority of my lineups because I don't trust him. You know, but like I said, his price point I'm curious about because I want to know, have the sites, you know, FanTool Draft, have they adjusted to him? He had a bad spring, or because of the hype, is his price still up there? If his price is anywhere near where I don't like it, I'm moving on. I'll find somebody else.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Ohtani is going to be one of the more interesting guys to follow throughout the year, really, because the expectations are there. I think, if I'm not mistaken, he was at DH for the opener. So, I mean, we've already seen it. He is going to hit and pitch. Make no mistake about it. It's going to be really interesting to follow. I want to draw your attention to something that just kind of jumped out at me as I was looking through box scores. It was the Milwaukee Brewers who are, you know, I mean, they're 2-0. It is what it is. But it's just the first three guys in their lineup is, I mean, it's exactly kind of what they were signing up for. But kind of as I looked at them in order, with, you know, Kane, Yelich, Braun, I mean, it jumped off the page to me. I mean, that really is, you know, as strong of a first three guys, you know, one of the stronger first three guys, I guess you'll see within the big leagues right now. You know, they've got off to a good start. Yelich hasn't been incredible, but Braun had a 5 RBI game. Lorenzo Cain's been off to a hot start as well. Again, I mean, it's 2-game sample. But, I mean, when you look at that, when you look at that front three, how do you feel about that group? And, I mean, maybe even more so just in terms of success for the Brewers, because it is something that was talked about a lot since they made these moves. I mean, is it there for this team? Can the Brewers actually compete for, you know, the postseason? Because it's something that kind of popped in my mind again as I just looked at those, you know, first three hitters in order.
No, because
simple.
No, there's no way in hell they're going to. I mean, compete. I mean, you think about it this way. I understand the moves. I mean, Kane, good player. Yelich, good player. But you didn't need outfield help. I mean, you had good outfield. I mean, not great. These guys are better. Sure, they make your team better. Yes, but you needed pitching. You know, these moves baffled me because I kept waiting for the secondary move. And what I mean by that is, okay, when are you trading Domingo Santana, Keon Broxton, whatever, for that pitcher? You know, when's that pitcher coming? I kept waiting. Still waiting. I'm actually still waiting for this. When's the pitching coming? Are you planning on winning all these games 10-8? You know, is that what you want to do? You want to play these kinds of games? You know, high-scoring games? You know, let's see if we can outslug. That generally doesn't work to play that kind of game here over and over and over again. Long season, that's going to catch up to you because your offense is not always going to score points. This is their rotation. Chase Anderson, Zach Davies, Julius Chacin, Brent Suda, Brandon Woodruff. Are you kidding me? This rotation is not going to hold up through April, more or less the next 6 months of the season. Like I said, these are baffling moves to me that you didn't acquire a pitcher here. You know, you have all these extra outfielders, and yet you didn't. I'm flabbergasted. I just don't get it how you don't acquire a pitcher.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fair. And I mean, they did try, I guess, to their credit. They weren't able to pull off the move. If I'm not mistaken, right, they were big on Arrieta. They were big on Darvish. They weren't able to land either guy in it. I mean, that was really the conversation with this team is, listen, the hitting is nice, but at the end of the day, what does it matter if you don't? I mean, they don't have an ace, let alone, I mean, a staff that you can really put out there and feel good about.
No. Like I said, you know, they'll be a fun team to watch. You know, really fun, because they're going to score some runs, especially in that ballpark. You know, Milwaukee, the ball flies out of there. You know, so they're going to score a lot of runs here, but, you know, you need pitching. Pitching is the name of the game. I'm not saying they needed an ace, but, in my mind, you look at this rotation, I think they need at least two starters, if not three. What, you hope when Jimmy Nelson comes back around the All-Star break, he's going to be great again like he was last year? I mean, even last year, I thought he sold his soul to the devil. You know, the clock is going to strike midnight. You know, he's going to be a pumpkin again. I get annoyed when I see teams do moves that just seem to be ass backwards. You know, it really frustrates me because I understand it's difficult here, but I mean, how many outfielders do you need? It's not even the American League. They are on a night as it is for the players on the roster right now. You know, Santana, Yelich, Braun, Kane, Thames. One has to sit every game,
right?
Because you have five guys for four spots. It doesn't even count Keon Broxton, they sent down. Brett Phillips, who's a nice young and up-and-coming player who probably deserved a shot this year, who's down in the minors. I mean, you have to be able to work out a trade here. Obviously, you're not trading Kane. You're not trading Yelich. No one's taking Braun. Maybe the Dodgers would eventually, but with his history. So maybe Santana's the one who has to go to you, has the most value here. You know, you need a pitcher, at least one, if not two. Hell, you might need five.
I don't think you're wrong at all. We got one more segment to go here on Fantasy Sports Today. Kevin Walsh and George Kurtz will be right back after this.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the program in there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
We are back here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Last segment here on Fantasy Sports Today. Kevin Walsh alongside George Kurtz. And, George, I want to ask you about something I noticed that the Texas Rangers are doing with their lineup. And it's something that we are, I mean, maybe we're already accustomed to it, but I was even a little taken aback to see where Joey Gallo was placed in the Rangers lineup at two. I mean, now it's a situation, I think, where how these lineups are constructed are I mean, is it fair to say drastically different than what they were just a few years ago? Where, I mean, a guy like Gallo, who's, I think, by most people projected a 40 home run, at least 35 home run guy, is hitting in the two hole, but this isn't a guy with who's going to be giving you a lot of average, I know for a fact.
Joey Gallo is, my God, it's a player I really wanted to get at least one share of him. I guess I'll get another chance tonight now, because I do think he's going to hit 40-plus home runs. He's going to be in the lineup every day. The ball flies out of that ballpark down there in Texas. So he's a player I'm interested in. Plus, you know, in a lot of leagues, he has first, third, and outfield eligibility, which is always sweet. I use that as a tiebreaker more than anything else. But I do like roster flexibility. It always comes in handy when injuries occur, and they will occur. We know that. So I'm on board with Gallo as well, and I really hope he ends up playing in the home run hitting contest at the All-Star break.
Are you someone who feels like the home run contest ruins player swings? Because I know Judge last year took a dip after it. I mean, or do you feel like that's maybe more a mental thing that fans play with themselves? I'm curious your opinion on that.
I mean, it's hard for me to say. I don't know if it really affects someone like Judge and Stan. The guys are trying to hit home runs anyway. I mean, you're a home run hitter. That's what you're doing. I might be more worried about a player who's a line drive hitter, maybe a Joey Votto type. That might concern me
change
more.
Change their swing up.
But not for guys. Yeah, because they're really trying to get more lift. But isn't that the big thing in today's game? You know, the launch angle?
Yeah.
You know, because they want to get the ball in the air. So wouldn't a home run hitting contest help that? You know, so I'm a Yankee fan. That didn't bother me. A Judge played in the in the home run hitting contest last year. I don't think that was the reason. I think his shoulder hurt. I think he injured his shoulder probably in that game versus Boston where he went tumbled into the stands. And I think his shoulder was a little off. Took a little while to heal here. So that's where I would equate his second half swoon. Not the oh my god, the home run hitting contest ruined his swing. No, I don't think I buy that.
Ultimately, I do think that the home run contest was maybe worth a little, a couple of bad performances from Judge, because that was quite the impressive performance that he put on. But I want to ask you specifically just the idea that now we're seeing kind of, I mean, pure power hitters, guys like Joey Gallo, guys like Aaron Judge, settling into the two hole. Do you feel, I mean, we talked about how things are changing with the way that managers are going about their bullpens. You know, now maybe the closer is going to be more of a niche thing. Maybe less teams will have a true closer than more will. Is this a situation where you think that this is kind of what we're going to settle into, where you've got a pure power hitter batting at two just to ensure that they're going to get as many at bats as possible?
I mean, I think this is I don't think it's an automatic. I think for the Yankees, it's fine because the lineup's great. Yeah, the 8-9 hitters can hit, so they'll get on base fine for him. In the National League, I think it's trickier because you got the pitcher batting ninth. So does this automatically mean the pitcher has to bat eighth now? So you have a good ninth place hitter, so it really becomes 9-1 can get on base. And obviously, I think the numbers are pretty much if you bat one spot higher in the lineup, you're going to get about 40 to 60 more at bats over the course of the season. So that's important. Obviously, you want that there. Judge is also a case where his OBP is going to be over 400. You could make the argument that he could bat first. You know, you get up to that quick 1-0 lead, and he'll walk a lot of times beyond base. And you might have had Stan bat second. Let him hit the 2-run homer. So you can make a lot of noise there. So I do think – I'm not against it. I'm certainly not against it. But I don't think it's an automatic. I think it depends upon the team around you. I don't know if I'd want to – like I said, I don't know if I want an Aaron Judge type hitting second if the 8-9 hitters suck.
Right.
You know, he's still got the same problem. He's not enough guys on base for him. So I think it's sort of a way of checks and balances sort of thing.
You know, I almost forgot to ask you about someone that kind of popped out to me the other day when I was watching the Yankees and the Blue Jays. Randall Grichuk. I thought that he had the home run. It was impressive. I was reading some stuff on Roto Experts, and he was talked about a guy that could possibly be a sleeper in some leagues if the power ultimately translates to Toronto, where it certainly should. What are your thoughts on Grichuk? I mean, you've got a draft now coming up probably tonight. I mean, thoughts on Grichuk? Could he be someone you look at?
Could he be somebody I look at? I want to say yes, but actually tonight I think it might only be a 10-team league, so no. I've had Grichuk for a number of years in a keeper league, and I did let him go this season, mainly because I had other guys that were just same kind of price. But I do believe the power's legit, you know. But you know, the average could be a problem. Toronto eventually could have issues in the outfield. He doesn't get to a good start where maybe he loses some playing time there, which will concern me somewhat. And I always get concerned. I don't know how you feel about this, Kev, but when guys change leagues, you know, is there an adjustment period? You know, because you got to get used to the pitchers, the new ball. I know what interleague play he's probably played there, but not often. So he's need to get used to new ballparks, that sort of thing. So he just wasn't worth me taking it. Certainly not in a 10-team league, a 12-team league and above is fine. 12-team league, I think he's the reserve type, but I think even then, unless you have more than five reserves, if you only have five, I think you're probably still looking at a waiver wire claim here, you know, that sort of thing. I am interested in him. I do like him, because I think I've liked him in the past, but yeah. I don't see big things happening here.
He could be one of those guys that we were kind of talking about before, just the idea of bookmarking and seeing if he can catch on. Because you mentioned there, too, I mean, he doesn't even necessarily have job security. So it's kind of tough this early in the season to be adding a guy who doesn't have that. If I'm not mistaken, my man Tony Sincotta is on the line there. Tony, you with us?
Yes, how are we doing today?
Doing beautiful, Tony. That lovely voice there on the other end. I want to ask you the same question that I started off asking George. I asked Mike just because I'm an excited Yankees fan and Stanton looks amazing. And I've gotten the same answer both times. I will not stop me from asking it a third. Do you think that Giancarlo Stanton could actually finish as the number one overall player in fantasy this year?
Could, yeah, to answer the question correctly, it would be yes. Could he? But I don't think he will. I think if you look at it and you try to take it, and a lot depends on the format, too. If you're playing a roto style or you're playing a point style, if you're playing a roto style, he's not going to be, because he's not going to have enough stolen bases to get up to the Mike Trout, Jose Altuve's. So he won't equal that out there. But if you're playing a point style, there's a chance he could actually be the number one player.
That feels fair. I'll take that.
Yeah, he's got a point there. Point style would be where he could excel at. So, Tony, give me an example. I'm sort of putting you on the spot here. But since you brought up point style, give me an example of a player that maybe you like more besides Stan. You like more in points than you do in rotisserie, and vice versa.
Well, it's so funny you say that, because I look at what I try to do in the point styles. I try to take home run hitters with good averages, and I don't necessarily need the stolen bases. So if I can get, you know, like Anthony Rizzo is a guy that all of a sudden, you know, a good batting average, good home runs, but he steals a couple of bases for a first baseman. But I would move him up in drafts there. Guys that don't strike out and put up good averages there, I'm okay with. I think when we play rotisserie style, we don't care about the strikeouts, right? Because we don't get any negative points in that type of environment. So I think it's all depending on the scoring. And then people play in these head-to-head leagues also that are category-driven. And then when you play in a category driven, the draft is totally different for me. In a head-to-head category league, which you play all 10 categories and each week is 7-3 or 6-4 or 5-5, you have the same categories as you do in a roto season long, but I play it entirely different. I don't draft any closers and I don't draft any stolen base guys.
So automatic punt two off the top?
Yeah, yeah, and win every week 6-4, 7-3 is my goal.
That's fair. I mean, I'm assuming it normally works if this is the strategy.
I don't play. I'm gonna be often. I don't play that much, but I've never not made the playoffs.
Let me ask you, Tony. There were a couple guys we were discussing that you know. It's early, right? I mean, we can't overreact too much to whether a guy is too hot or too cold, you know, in just the first week of, you know, I mean, with Easter weekend. But someone that we were discussing was John Lester, who looked really bad against the Marlins. And, I mean, listen, on paper is a matchup, it's on paper, but the Marlins are terrible. And he should not be getting chased out by the Marlins before we even hit the fourth inning. But he did, and this is a guy. I mean, George mentioned it. He dropped last year. He didn't look the same. I mean, is this a year where he fully falls off the cliff, or I mean, has he already?
I'll tell you what. I watched that whole game, and I have John Lester on a couple teams. You're right. You can't panic after the first game. It didn't look good. The thing is John Lester's always had the ability to strike people out too. In that diminished, started lessening last season. And then we saw the first game against the Marlins, and he wasn't throwing it by people. I'm concerned a little bit. And like you said, we don't want to get concerned after one game. But, damn, that didn't look good. It didn't look good at all. So, yeah, I have a little concern, but I'm going to throw it out the window. After five starts is before I would lose my mind on any pitcher. And I think you go there. I mean, you look at this first couple of days. It's insane the amount of runs that are being put up right now in baseball. The bullpens, right? We all talk about all bullpens coming in and out in baseball, and that's the new rage. And then one inning, you come in and you put people away. Well, they've been getting blown up like crazy.
All right, I'm going to ask you a question that's not non-fantasy related here. What's your opinion on this? So I heard people complain about these games going too long as it is, extra innings. Do you want them to put that runner on second base to start the 11th, 12th, 10th? This is ridiculous. It's stupid, right?
Baseball is the purest sport when it comes to statistics, right? Everybody's pissed off about the steroid era because of Barry Bonds hitting 73 home runs and breaking all the records of season single records. And then they get pissed off that he broke Babe Ruth's records because of steroids. Yet, are those going to be RBIs when you knock in a guy that's already on second base? Is that going to be
who would get the loss?
Yeah. Is that going to be a run scored for a guy that didn't get a hit to get on base? Like, how does it work?
It's nonsense. I don't understand.
I guess it would be a run score because we have pinch runners and they get a run score. So I guess that would be fine. But would you give the pitcher the loss? You put a guy at second base, he gets the loss now? It's not even his runner. Is it a team loss? I mean, that's just, to me, it's silly. And I understand there's been a couple of extra inning games so far this year. That seems, but you're hearing this already. People complaining about this. Go home if you want to watch.
Here's what I think is going to happen. Here's what I think would happen in there. This is just common sense. I have no idea. That once the game goes into extra innings and we start this insanity with the second and third guys on base, that no stats will accumulate after the ninth inning.
Hate that.
That's interesting.
Because it like take the hockey shootout. You don't get those goals.
The hockey shootout. It's the same thing went through my head. Yeah, hockey shootout goals. They don't count.
But you get the goals if you score an OT, no?
Oh, yeah. But that's what I mean. If they play like two regular extra innings, you'll get that. But then once this fiasco starts, I think all stats won't count. So you're going to have pitchers out there that'll probably get credits for innings pitched because that'll come into their contracts and everything else. But they won't get ERA, WHIP, and all that stuff. So this is going to ruin baseball statistically, which is the one sport it's driven and people are proud of.
And, you know, the one thing you mentioned about the purity of it, I will always say is that I've loved about baseball is you can't run the clock out. Like, you absolutely have to play to, I mean, there's no whistle, but you get my point. I've always loved that about baseball.
I agree. That is the thing. And then people are trying to, you know, they're trying to plan ahead. They're trying to play for the next generation. But it's crazy. I actually saw the other night, one of the things that people don't know is that everybody in between innings, the pitchers get 8 warm-up pitches, but now it's all time. And Chris Sale was pitching for the Red Sox, and he took a while to get back out to the mound. And the ump told him, man, hurry up, and gave him 3 pitches and tell him that was it. Let's go.
Yeah, listen, I get it. They want these games timed down. I do get it. It doesn't bother me because, listen, I got the pack. I'll just watch another game that's where guys are playing, so I don't care. But I do understand they want to get the times down. I also wonder, well, why don't they do like football then? Start the games at 7 o'clock. Why 7:07, 7:08, 7:09? I think what the White Sox play at 7:11 because they're sponsored by 7-Eleven. So, but why not start the game like football? Start the games on the hour. I don't need to hear the Michael Kay drone on for 5 to 7 minutes about the listen, let's go.
You know, the thing though, a lot of these changes seem to be all about the fans, but I haven't seen a lot of fan support for this. This seems more so about the players because anybody who's defended this has seemed to be more so talking about players having to travel after playing, 14 innings and then having a day game the next day. I mean, that sucks. That rarely happens. But like, I
don't think it is, but you have a point that something else is going to happen here. I just found this out yesterday. I listened to Manfred in one of the telecasts where he was at the game. So I don't think it's that. I think it's about the next generation that everybody's like into bits and like the whole Twitter generation and the millennials like things short. So that's what I think it's all about. But the players, Major League Baseball is going to overhaul all the divisions in both leagues to get all the teams that travel closer together in the same divisions. I heard Manfred talking about it, and it's going to make and then they're going to add playoff teams, and this will make playoff things. Baseball is going to change dramatically in the next 10 years, and I'm okay with them changing the divisions because I'm a Red Sox fan, and all the teams in our division are close, so I don't think it would be a change for us. We might lose Toronto. Other than that, I think we'll be fine, and maybe the Mets get moved instead of Toronto into our division. They're going to change everything. The American National League teams are not going to be the same in the next 10 years.
Shouldn't Tampa be moved out of the East? They're the team that's not close to us.
Well, they're on the East Coast.
Close to you.
Straight line. Straight line.
Yeah, Toronto. Toronto's like an hour away from by plane,
Toronto,
man.
Toronto's closer to Detroit, though, too, right?
Yes, I it could work out where what you're sort of saying there is that maybe another division needs Toronto in it because they'll be closer.
Yeah.
But couldn't Tampa be with Miami, yeah. Atlanta?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, it'd be a southern division. Yeah, I mean, it could be. I mean, it could get
that.
Real interesting.
I'm all for that, down on travel
maybe
time.
Maybe give Tampa a break and take them out of the East.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, a small market,
what
big
do you want,
market,
hey,
too.
What do you want to have, crap. A ghetto division in Major League Baseball? Tampa, Miami. What other teams? Minnesota spends money now, but we could have a ghetto division. The Padres.
You could have a small market, big market division, ghetto and luxury, ghetto and Beverly Hills.
Poor man's division. Teams that just don't spend, they get all sucked in the same division.
Don't you feel bad for Tampa? They got the worst stadium in baseball. They play with the Yankees, Red Sox. I mean, Baltimore doesn't spend money, but they have money. You know, I mean,
can I tell you
Toronto
something?
Spends.
Tampa gets killed on that stadium. I've been there a lot. If you sit in the first level, it's not bad at all, but I think
the ball hits the goddamn rafters, man. It's terrible.
Oh, up there, yeah, I don't sit in the second level. I sat one time during a playoff game, and I got why people complain, but I just don't sit up there anymore.
Dodger Stadium spewing out sewage. I mean,
yeah, that's what I said.
Oh, Lord.
They got crap running around the infield.
That'll do it for us here on Fantasy Sports Today. Thanks, Tony, coming by. Thank you, George Kurtz, for filling in for Mike Blewett. I'm Kevin Walsh. We'll see you guys next week.